Hallelujah. You know, that's our entire point for living, is to bring God glory. Every little thing we do. You know, everybody wants the big glory. You want to get it out there billboard style, on TV. It ain't those things you're going to get judged by. It's the little things. You know, the other day, well, it was Friday. I guess it was the other day. You know, when the storm started blowing in, I had decided I needed to do some work in my shop and was cleaning. And somewhere along the line, you know how one thing leads to another? I did get some of my shop clean, but I did a lot of other things. And when the wind started blowing in, I opened up the door because usually my barn is cool because it's a basement part, and that it had gotten humid, but that cool air started blowing through, and it was just like air conditioning down there, and I was like, oh, this is great. And I said, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to work on that back door a little bit, remove the latches so that they catch properly. And I'm sitting there working. I took them off. And that's when the wind blew. That wind blew so stinking hard. I've got the latch. I got the drill with a non-metallic tip with a screw, the latch, the over-centered latch in this hand, and I got to hold the door. So there I am with my pinky trying to hold back, 30-mile-an-hour gusts with an 8-foot door catching it, and it's kept getting away from me, and I'm putting this on. I'm like, oh, man. Why did I do this now? And I got it all back together, and I got the other side latched, and I got to finish it. I have to finish it now because now the door's weak if I don't finish both sides. When I did that, the Lord showed me a little something out of that little exercise. That's the way we are as believers. We want to wait until the storm rises to get God to change us. Did y'all hear me? We wait until the storm arises to fix the things that needed fixed. See, the disciples were in the boat. We'll give half of them experience in sailing. They were scared to death. And what did they do? Jesus is in the boat asleep. The one guy who has no experience professionally, and he's asleep. And they cry out, Master, Master, don't you care that we're going to drown? And after he calmed the storm, he simply told it, shh, be quiet. He looked at them and he said, oh, you of little, where was your faith? See, the time to develop faith is not when you're in the boat about to drown. Time to develop faith is when you're on solid ground, the sun is shining, the birds are singing. That's the time. And how did you develop faith? Believe. Simply believe. That's what Jesus told the father of that little boy who had a demon. He said, all things are possible if you only believe. And we have got, listen, right now the storm isn't rising. We're in a calm still. Storms come and they go. Just get used to it. That is part of this life. It's a cycle. You know when they're coming. You know when they're, just like yesterday. Or as you were sad Friday. I'm getting my days mixed up. Angela's like, well, what's the weather like out there at the house? And I said, well, the sky is about the same color as the siding on our house. I said, it's a dark blue, dark blue gray. Oh, it's not that bad here yet. I said, it will be. I said, it's coming. And sure enough, you know, she sent me a message. Is it raining yet? She says, it's pouring here. Nope, not raining yet. So that's when I decided I'll go ahead and take the latches off the door. But folks, I want you to understand that you're just going to have to develop your faith. Now, I want to point out something. Psalm 46:1 says, the Lord is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. When Jesus was walking on the water and Peter needed help, who was there? Jesus. He was right there, right now. He was there to help. Just like I had to, just like my little pinky was there to help me hold that 8-foot by 8-foot door with 30 mile an hour winds. And it was, trust me, my pinky got a workout. But it held. I got the latch in until I could get the latch over. All I had to get was one screw. One screw is all it took to hold that. And then once it got there, I was able to do it. But no less than Jesus. He didn't just stop right then and say, well, we got this, it'll hold. No, he continued the job. He will continue to grow your faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Now, Lord God, we thank you for the rain we received. We called upon it, called for it last week, and it came. So, Lord, we give you the glory and the honor for that. Now, Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offerings. We bless them according to your word, Lord God. We have brought them into the storehouse that you may press them down, shake them together, and cause good to come into our lives, cause blessings to come into our lives. So much so, Father, that we would need to be blessings to other people. So, Father, I thank you now. We receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed. And just so everybody on Facebook knows, this corner is not does not have the pox. Don't think I haven't noticed people aren't sitting over here. Exactly. My wife tells me, was it yesterday? You said, oh, I didn't know we had such a good whistler on the praise team. I stand back here and I'll whistle. And if we say anything, it records it back there too. So Phil, so those of you, you'll hear Phil and I talking about the thermostat. Apparently the power flashed here enough to reset the thing, and it was 86 in here this morning. So that's why it's just now starting to feel like it's air conditioned. It wasn't just hot flashes, Cheryl. Exactly. Oh, praise God. But I tell you what, if you, that storm, I mean, it came in and it blew hard. We got an inch and a half on the day. And, but you know, that last hurrah for it there in the evening. I mean, I'm in my shop. Angela and them are in Marion. And I'm standing on, like, I'm hoping that they are not on the road in this. I hope they just stayed inside a building somewhere, because I can't see the trees that were 50 yards away from the barn. And I'm like, I can't see because of the rain. And, but turns, lo and behold, they were home. They'd gotten home before the hardest, I guess, hit. And I wrapped up what I was going to do for the day, walked out. It's still raining. And if it may help you out, if you run during the rain, just so you know, you get wetter, just walk. It's up here. It's why it's raining. It's why it rains harder when you're driving. Stop your car and see how hard it's not raining. You're driving into more. So, but anyhow, I went out and I saw my ditch needed, my gutter and my driveway needed emptied. Stone washes into it and then the water runs over it and creates the Grand Canyon in my driveway. So I'm out there in the rain with my little shovel and cleaning it out. And I'm cutting new routes to make sure all the water's going where it needs to be. And I thought, I'll go check this other work we Justin and I did. And I walk around the corner of the barn heading to the north. And, you know, it was just when the rain was starting to lighten up. I mean, it's just falling straight down. It was at the very end of the storm. And I noticed the sun had peeked through to the west. And when I came around the corner of the barn, there was a gold stripe across the green field. And I'm walking, and I'm like, man, I can't get my eyes to adjust. It's about 400 yards out, and there's something out there. I'm looking, and I checked what I needed to check, and finally got my eyes to adjust. I thought, I'm going to go get my binoculars. And I went and got my binoculars, and there's a deer standing in the gold, just standing up there looking at me. It's a doe that we've seen in the area. But she just looked, it was just so neat to see that. But let me explain the rest of the beauty after the storm. Many of you saw the double rainbow. How many else saw that double rainbow? We had a double rainbow. The bottom one was complete, the top partial. But when I turned around and looked back at the barn, you could see the gold strip, the haze, and everything, lightning flashed under the bottom rainbow. And I just stood there, I thought, God, this is beautiful. This was a powerful storm that just came through, because that was where we gained about an inch of rain, was right there. And that was a half hour. And, you know, sometimes we're so caught up in the storm that we don't realize there's going to be beautiful. There's going to be beauty come in it. Trade your mourning. Trade it. Trade it up. Trade it for glorious things. Don't keep waiting around for the next shoe to drop. It's going to drop. It's how you're going to handle it. We're all going to go through stuff, right? We do. How you're going to handle it says it all. You know, you can go into a deep depression or you can rejoice. Now, I'm going to say something here, and I'm not doing this to bring up anything else for him, but Joe said goodbye to his mother. That's pretty rough. But Joe, my hat's off to you. He got up and spoke at her funeral. And the words he had to say were beautiful. I'd never met her. Couldn't have told you what she looked like. Couldn't have told you anything. But we went. Angela had met her, knew her. And I walked out, and I thought, you know, because of what he said, because of what Jeff Hubschman said, I felt like I knew her. See, he was hurting, but he found a reason to rejoice. And we need to do that in everything. You know what? There's a lot of dookie in life. What you're going to do, are you going to use it to fertilize your flowers, or are you just going to let it destroy everything? Remember, a little bit is good. Too much is bad. All you got to do is go look at these guys that fertilize their own yards with liquid. They're the ones with yellow grass. So just think about that. But I just wanted to share with you. I mean, I wish I could have taken, but there's no way to do it. That's one of those things. You're going to have to take the time to look. Because most people were sitting inside. I was standing outside dripping, soaking wet. But it was amazing. But the only way you'd have really seen it is if you were outside. And I talked to somebody else, and they were talking about the gold, how the sky turned gold and the fields were gold. It was just gorgeous. So, you know, learn when it's just been a rough time to look for the glory in it. Amen. So this morning we're going to continue talking about I am. But we're going to skip a little bit. I was in Exodus and we were talking about Moses and his every time the God said I am. The Lord wanted me to, he kind of sped me up a little bit, not that we're not going to look at other things down the road, but I have three scriptures today we're going to look at. When I'm done with them, I'm done with them. Okay, that's what God has said. But I wanted to look at some things. These are the words that Jesus used when he was ministering. I got to get another drink of water. So go to John chapter 18. John 18, go to verses 4 and 6. 4 through 6. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Who are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." I believe the word, if you check, the word he was added. Okay? Why was it added? Because of our language. Okay? Hebrew, Greek, those languages are not exactly like ours. So they add words to make them work. He said, I am. They drew back and fell to the ground. What happened? He used the most high name of God. The most high name of God isn't Yahweh, isn't Jehovah, Adonai. It is I am. I am. Jesus even used the words, I just looked at it this morning. He said, before Abraham was born, I am. I am. Not I was. I am. Present. He's present in the beginning. He's present in the end. He said, I am. Now, there's, I want to say it's in Luke, but don't hold me to that. Or it might be, no, it's Mark. Mark 15:51. And it says that during this time when he's being arrested, said, after his disciples had fled, there was a young man following them, wrapped in a linen cloth. And the young men grabbed him. Now, the young men would have been the guard, okay, because according to that passage of scripture, the disciples had already taken off for the hills. And so it said the guards grabbed him. And when they grabbed him, they grabbed hold of evidently the cloth, and it ran off, and he was naked, and he ran. Now, you need to understand a couple things here real quick about the Garden of Gethsemane. How many know exactly what the Garden of Gethsemane was? Cemetery. Yeah. Jesus was praying in a cemetery. Now, oddly enough, the Christian church has taken going to the cemetery and made it a spooky thing. Well, when you stop and think about it, ain't nobody there. It's no different than you walking across the cornfield. There's nobody in those bodies. But it was peaceful. Some of the most peaceful. When we lived in town, we'd come up here and we'd even take a walk through the cemetery because it was so quiet. And you knew you weren't going to get run over by a car. And this is where Jesus would go to pray often. But he's in a cemetery, so guess what about the young man who was wrapped in linen? Y'all remember how they wrapped Jesus, right? In linen. When Jesus said, I am, the power of God hit that cemetery, knocked the guards and everybody else in front of him down, but there was a nearby grave, because the word that is used for linen describes burial, the burial linens. This young man would probably just buried that day. Okay. And the power of God hit and he was resurrected. That's the power of the name of I am. You shall not take my name in vain. I am your present help in times of trouble. I am your Lord. I am your King, is what he's been saying to us the whole time. I am. Oh, but gee, here's the fallacy of the church when religion got hold of it. I despise religion and what it has done to the body of Christ. Oh, but Lord, if it's your will that all would be saved. You haven't read the Bible. It says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all could come. But it's not, he will not impose his will upon you. He wants you saved. He wants you set free. He wants you delivered. He wants you happy. Religion teaches you got to be sad to come to church. I'm not saying we all come to church when we get together, we're all just like, oh boy, I just can't wait to go to church. There's days you don't feel like getting out of bed. Right? I've joked about it and said, but there was a couple times it was the truth. Lord, I don't want to go to church. But you're the preacher. Oh. okay, you got a point. Might be good if I showed up. But God has been trying to tell us that He is the great I Am. That is His real name. Because when we say, well, you're God, what does God describe? We got the gods of rock, gods of the arena, the word God is so generic that it takes away, in my opinion, the power of who God is. It takes away the person of who God is away. You know, as when I went into Marine boot camp, the first thing they did was stripped us of our name. We Marines were just different this way, and maybe back in the day the Army did too. But Marines are not called Marines. They're not called anything but recruits. That's it. We were recruits. They took away who we were by our name. But you see, when we went through that, they gave us a better name. A name that could never be taken. And that's the way God is. We gave God the generic title God and took away who He is. He's I Am. You need a help? I Am. You need a friend? I Am. You need fortress? I Am. You need healing? I Am. You need a way? I Am. That's our next one. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, let me help you out here. Again, y'all, if you've known me very long, you know, and I just said it, I despise what religion has done. And that's why I want you to read your Bible. Do you know that's why Martin Luther did what he did? It was because he found out the Catholic Church was twisting and perverting what the Word of God said, and he called them on the carpet. But what we've done throughout the years, through charismatic, through every branch of the church, we have taken away things so that it's easier for us to control. Folks, people really are afraid of freedom. They're afraid to be free. Well, I need some rules. There was one rule in the garden. Don't touch my tree. But that's not the nature of man. The nature of man, I need these parameters. I got to do this. I got to have this. I got to have this. How about we just do good? We be good? Do unto others? Is that what? As you would have done unto you, not before you have done unto you? Y'all, some of y'all know that one quite well. Do unto others before they do unto you. But he said, I'm the way. He's the only way to heaven, ladies and gentlemen. There is no Buddha going to get you to heaven. No Krishna, no meditation, no yoga. And if you're doing yoga, knock it off. I don't care about the stretches. I'm talking about you getting into some of this weird garbage because it is part of Eastern Transcendental Meditation. It is garbage and you're opening yourself up to the demonic world. There are legitimate exercises that were before yoga. They've been used. I can't help what they did. We did planks in the Marine Corps, and I didn't even know what they were called. But it's part of yoga, apparently. We called it watching TV. Our toes, our elbows, and we had to reach up and change the channel. You try to do that in your dress uniform, we got in trouble really bad. But there's so many people are looking for a different way to heaven. Why is the body of Christ always looking for something new? Why do we need something new all the time? We're not satisfied. We don't want to do what God said to do to begin with. Well, I just think we need new this or new that. Why? I replace things when they're old and worn out, when I'm tired of looking at them. No. But you know how many people are doing that today? The revolving door. They're trading up. They're, I got to have this. I got to have that. We need a new move of God. We don't need a new move of God. We need to walk into one He gave us. He gave us all power, all authority. How much more do you want? How much more? Most of you in here, my generation or thereabouts, you saw the commercials. All. A-L-L. It does it all. Why do we think there's more? When Jesus said it is finished, He said, I've done all I'm going to do. It's up to you now. You want free? You're going to fight. You're going to believe. That's how you fight, by the way. I realize the garbage we've got going on right now in these cities and in these towns. Did you not read your Bible? It told us this kind of stuff was coming. There have been prophets prophesying of this stuff. Legitimate prophets, not just people trying to get on TV. We are dealing with a time when we simply need to believe. It's not just a catchy song for a Disney cartoon. If you only believe, there can be miracles. I know I just jacked that all up, but... I am neither Mariah Carey nor the other one that sang that. But the story of the Exodus was powerful because God was introducing Himself as I am, the great I am. That's why He said, tell them I am that I am has sent you. I am that I am. You know, I used to want to get this t-shirt when I was a single guy. That said, I am the guy your mother warned you about. By the way, that don't get you in the front door. I only went out with a couple of girls, five girls total. The first one, the mother threatened me. The second one, the father threatened me. And after that, I was just like, you know what? Maybe I don't need any more threats. Nah. I wasn't dating to be dating. I was dating to find somebody that I loved. And that was that. Dating is a sport now. If you think I'm kidding, that's exactly what it is. If you'll know within the first couple dates whether this is going to work out. Here's the sad part is we got the whole... Pleasantville mentality, Archie and Betty and Veronica. Who is Archie with? Depends on which edition of the comic book you read. And some of you, I know I just went way over your head, some of you younger generation, you have no idea who Archie, Jughead, Betty, and Veronica are. So Jesus has told them, I am. He declared that He was. He took the name of God. Do you understand? This is why they wanted Him dead. Because He took the name. Then, He had the audacity to say, I am the Son of God. I am here. I am here for you to bask in my glory. Really. If you've seen the Father, see, that says that we all want to go to see God face to face. I want to see God. That was their thing. Well, that's kind of funny. A couple thousand years earlier, none of you wanted to go up and meet Him. Now you want to see God? You want to meet God? I'm here. What do you think? We're not so impressed. That's kind of their mentality. I mean, come on. He was on the earth 33 years and they ended up crucifying him. And he only declared he was God the last three. So in 3 years they went from, we want to see the face of God, where he said, here it is, to kill him. We don't want him. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't handle the power, the glory of God, of who he really is and all of his glory. The church has bound itself by denying that there is a science. There is a history to this world. I, for one, do not believe we're just 10,000 years old, based on what the Bible has actually said. I believe when God said, let there be light, first off, we know that the sun wasn't around for another 2 days. But there are still universes. They're watching them unfold. How awesome is that? That was God's original creation when he began creating. Because you've got to understand something. When you're an artist or you're a creator, you don't just stop, do you? It's only our society that has developed the word retire. That's it. You hit a certain age, you don't have to do anything else ever again. But what if it's a passion? If you're a creator, it's what you do. You create. You make things. And he is the creator. I am creation. He just kept creating. There will, Bible tells us there will be a new heaven and a new earth. We don't know if it's going to be in the Milky Way galaxy. No idea. We don't know what God's going to do. Not in that arena. Now, John chapter 11. I should have said I have three references. 24 through 26. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, obviously, ladies and gentlemen, he wasn't speaking. We got to remember there are so many times the Bible is speaking metaphorically and it needs to be interpreted properly. We have people trying to take metaphors and make them literal. Well, he says you could take this mountain. Well, I get that, but the problem is if the mountain's not yours, you have no right to move that mountain. Caleb had his own mountain. God gave him a mountain at 80 years old. He said, that mountain's yours. And Caleb said, I'm 80. I want my mountain. And they went and they took their mountain. It belonged to Caleb. How would you like to be a Caleb there living on his mountain? And Joshua comes up and said, this mountain's in my way. It's got to go. Be cast into the sea. Caleb come down, hey, wait a minute, Jack, this is mine. So maybe he was actually talking metaphorically. That we cast those things that are in our way out of our way. The mountains that are in your life, the things that we make, you know, that were a molehill, and then we made it into the mountain. He said, you will never die. He's not talking about this death that this body has to experience. You know why? Because it's already recorded in the Word that there is a time appointed for each man one time to die. One time. There's only two people recorded in the Bible who have never died. Enoch and Elijah. And they left the same way. God took them. Now, if you study Scripture, you'll know that there are two prophets coming who are going to preach. They will die in the streets. And I believe, as well as many people who have now gotten past the stigma of what religion has said, it was Moses. Moses died. But Jesus is talking about death, permanent. See, the resurrection, we're talking about all, when judgment day comes, all people are judged. From the time of Adam to now, everybody's judged. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are without Christ. And they'll be judged. Your body comes back. That's why I think it's a fallacy for the church to be preaching, well, you got to be buried 6 feet deep. You got to do that. That would be my phone. It just kicked off. But I think it's a fallacy for us to teach that you can't be cremated because, well, you know, that's a sin. No. What about the people who died in fiery crashes, burned buildings? I'm sorry, if God can't recreate me out of dust, then how am I supposed to believe that he created Adam out of dust? It's a fallacy, but no, nobody was willing to challenge it. Because I get to control you. I get to control what you're thinking all the time. By the way, you need to come to the Bible to get your answers. I have so many people come to me, well, I don't believe this. Get in the Bible. You come to me with a scripture, not your thoughts. Because trust me, I don't come with my thoughts. But sometimes my thoughts scare even me. I'm like, Lord, if that's you, we need a scripture. We need a reference to go on, something to stand on. Without the word, it's just your opinion. And your opinion counts for nothing because in the Word of God, we're going to be judged by what the Word says. Now, having said that, I am the resurrection and the life. He is what raises us. We were dead. We died to sin. We resurrected in Christ when we were water baptized. Now, this was something else I was going to talk about in this, about religion and how religion has taught us that, you know, you've got certain things. First off, catechism does not mean you're saved. Two, water baptism does not mean you're saved. And I said that because there are two denominations I know of right now that teach that very thing. Peter even found a village where people had gotten saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but they'd never been water baptized. He said, well, can we deny them water? They didn't know anything about that. The truth of the matter is, the Word teaches us that salvation is made by confession. Confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is it. So many people want to make it harder than it has to be. Now, you do need to start living a life, you know, if, you know, I've prayed with people before they've died. Listen, oh, that just seems to be cheating to me. I know who ain't going to be there, because you need to get rid of that jealousy. Love is not jealous. I hope to God that Osama bin Laden, if he is indeed dead, just saying, but would have preferred to have seen a body, that before he was killed, he recognized the truth. But you don't know. Yeah, I do. And I need to tell you, hell is so much further worse than anything he ever did. We're out for vengeance, and vengeance is God's, not ours. What we stand in judgment in the end is between God God will be the one to do that. That's why God is our judge and not us. Because if it's us, well, we're going to be like, well, you know, you, this is what you did. Yes, I know what I did, and I was wrong. There's not a one of us in here who dares to, and if you do, I pray that you come to the revelation of who God is and who you are. But I'm not going to by any means try to say, God, do you know what Phil did? You can't forgive him. He's going to turn around and say, Art, I know what you did. Oh, you know, that's a different story. That's the way we go, isn't it? Oh, no, that's a whole other, you know, we don't need to talk about me. I like reading that particular passage from John 11 at funerals. Because I'm going to tell you something, Joe. It was wonderful to know your mama knew Jesus. Mama knew Jesus. It means Joe's going to see her. She's in heaven, rejoicing. And we don't know what she, you know, you get there. I don't know. I've never been there, okay? What are you going to do? That's why mercy, well, it's actually a different reason if you watch the movie. But the song, I Can Only Imagine. I can only imagine what it's going to be like. Kind of envious. No more aches, no more pains. No more groaning when you get up. No more of that. No reason to believe us, but I believe we'll be like we were in our early 30s. Other than the fact that that's the age Jesus was when he was crucified, resurrected, and I'm like, 30s were good. 30s were pretty good. He said, I am all of that. I am your resurrection. I am the way. I am the life. I am the good shepherd. In the book of John, Jesus made a lot of I am declarations. I am the bread. I am the light. He claimed everything that he knew the Jews needed to hear. He claimed that and made them even madder. But if we understand, folks, everything you're seeking, he is. He's the great I am. The first and the last. And he's not, unless you panic and freak out, he's not going to change your door latch in the middle of a storm. He's going to wait until the wind quits blowing and say, now, we need to fix this. But here's the thing. When the storm quits blowing and the door's no longer banging back and forth, I don't need to mess with that today. Right? That ain't a big deal today. That flash, that shingle, that's no big deal on that roof. I ain't gonna mess with it today. It's not hurting. The sun's shining. One failed shingle means there's more failed shingles. Ain't that right, Rick, brother? How many years did you do roofing? So many he don't remember. But he'll tell you, one bad shingle means there's more. When they start blowing off, there's more. And that's the way God looks at it. He's not going to get you out there. Jesus knew what was going to happen. And he was good with it. He knew one, he knew the boat was not going to sink with him on it. He had a destiny. Do you believe you have a destiny? You'd better. You better believe you have a destiny, because you do. Every time I've gotten on a plane, I've heard of preachers that were afraid to fly. Wait a minute, you just preached a message about fear. Come on, overcome that fear. You've got to overcome fear, or else fear will keep you from fulfilling your destiny. And I have flown, ladies and gentlemen, in a puddle jumper during a tornado. And all I could say was, if it's my time to go, then I'm going. But if not, God has a call on my life, and he'll keep these wings in the air. And guess what? I've never been on a plane. I've been on planes where you're flying along smooth, and all of a sudden, poof. Been in helicopters where I could see the altimeter move severely. I've had machine guns come apart, shooting them. Nearly hit by a taxi cab, that much. It's not my time. It's not, and I don't mean I'm going out. I did not do any of these things intentionally. You need to understand this. I never saw the taxi, for starters. The machine gun, the guy before me didn't latch it properly. And everything else I couldn't control. But I'm here to tell you, you've got a call, you've got a destiny. You do have a destiny on your life. There ain't no helicopter, there ain't no taxi cab, there ain't no neck surgery, there ain't no ladders falling off of tree limbs, no trees falling on you, no falling off of roofs, no cars crashing. None of that stuff is going to stop if you believe you have a destiny and that God is in charge of your life. He says, I am the author and finisher. He will see you through the end. So don't think that you're going to, well, it's just going to take me out. Listen, stay in the will of God for your life. Do not try to fulfill somebody else's destiny. That so many preachers miss God's perfect will in their, and that's why most of them fall. They got out of the will of God for their life, and they started listening, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. I need to do what God told me to do. I've had people tell me, well, you need to go do this, and you need to go do that. God hasn't told me, and I'm not going. That's all there is to it. God didn't tell me to move. He said, stand your post until properly relieved. And I have not been relieved. I'm about to get on a roll that maybe I shouldn't. Did y'all ever do that? Get on a roll? I'm just telling you, folks. Trust in him. Trust in I am. I hope to explain more and more to you that one of these days I'm going to have people coming in one after the other say, man, God showed me who he is to me, how he is the great I am. I tell people, I learned more about God in the Marine Corps than all my years in church. But it took those years in church and the Bible study for me to recognize it. But you need to understand, I know him as the Lord of hosts. And the Lord of hosts means a commander of military forces. I get it. I understand it. And I'm going to tell you what, when there is, when you've got the King of Kings on your side, the Lord of Lords, the one who holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave, he's your commander. Exactly. You win. It's like you're on Lord of the Rings and you show up with those gigantic mammoths with the tusks and all this stuff and you're going up against dwarves. Well, according to the shows, they're pretty tough little guys. But they get squashed. I love watching stuff like that. I love watching, first off, the tenacity. But the sheer eminence of God coming into the situation. You know you've got it. It's kind of like in the movie, The Lord of the Rings. I watched the movie. I didn't read the book. Not Lord of the Rings, but Narnia. Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. In which Aslan has been slain. Y'all know this. And if you didn't know that C.S. Lewis was telling a story of the Bible to his children, then I brought you up to date. Aslan represented God, and he died. But he shows up in the middle of the battle. When it's looking like people are going to get overrun, and God shows up on the scene as the great I am. Don't let religion just mimic, knock him down to the word God. He is the great God. He's the God of gods, the Lord of lords. King James LeBron has nothing on the King of Kings. King Elvis Presley of rock and roll has nothing on the King of Kings. The King of Pop, Michael Jackson, has nothing on the King of Kings. He's the great I am. Nobody else, except for the people trying to make dog food. Do you know how long I struggled with that? How dare they? I am. When he said, don't take my name in vain, that's the name he didn't want you using in vain. I don't use the word, the term OMG. I just say it that way so you get it. Because my God is I am, and I will not take his name in vain. You don't serve God, then it don't bother me. But if you claim